Blog Talk Radio.
Turn me up a little bit.
Your turn radio.
What you know about it? What you know about it? I said it. Hip-hop, the hip-hop, and you don't stop. I rock on, baby, bubba, to the boogie, the bang, bang, the boogie, to the boogie.
Hi!
I was just ready to praise you.
Never mind. I was just going to say good job and gold star for Joe D.
I tried not to sing this time because I always get caught singing or rapping or whatever to that.
I am so happy that you didn't. I always have to go take an Advil afterwards, so I appreciate
anyway,
it.
Whatever. Bite me. Hello, everyone. This is WTF with Joe D and the lovely and talented Miss Kenitra Jordan. So, how are you doing tonight, partner?
Awesome. Well, okay, wait. I'm awesome now. I had like a mega virus on my computer earlier today, and that was just not cool at all. It took them 2 hours to get that sucker off my computer. Something called, I can't even remember what it was, but you need to make sure you're careful with it, because whatever it is, it's something that kind of like hijacks your browser and then slowly corrupts your entire computer.
See?
It's not.
I keep telling you to stay away from porn sites. I'm just saying.
Really? I only went
so I
could get
information. That's how you get your little virus.
Whatever.
That's how you got your little virus.
I can't stand you at times. But you know what? Touche. That was a good one. Touche. Rat.
Anyway, y'all.
I am enjoying summer vacation.
Well, I'm so happy you as a teacher enjoying your little summer vacation.
Yeah.
Because school will be starting back before you know it. So enjoy.
But
we got a great show for y'all tonight. We've got Trinae Adams, author of Titan's Treasure, and also Sunshine. I like that name. Sunshine, Wanda Lee, author of Love's Betrayal. And they're going to be joining us a little bit later, and they're going to be sharing their latest work and also telling you a little bit about their previous work and also what they have going on now and maybe some future events. They're also going to be joining us for our main topic tonight, which is, can a relationship survive cheating? That's going to be interesting. I know a lot of y'all are going to have a lot to say about that one. But anyway, before we get to all that, we got something that we like to call the spin cycle topic. Okay, Jay? Spin the wheel.
All right. My first one, I started back in January when it first happened, and I've kind of kept everybody up to date as far as how things are going, and so it is very sad tonight that I have to report that it has been confirmed that Bobby Christina has been moved to hospice care or end-of-life care. She has been removed from all tubes, all machinery, anything that was used to preserve life. And her aunt, Pat Houston, said at this point, it is truly, she is in God's hands. So that is a very somber thing to have to, you know, have pop up on your phone today and have to see on the media. You know, everybody was really pulling for her and was really hoping that she was going to make it. And you know what? She still could. Hopefully so.
Yeah, I was about to say, because they had counted her out, like, months ago.
But it's a little different now. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Like I said, they had counted her out, like, months ago, and she was still holding on. I mean, now, at this point, like they said, it's in God's hands. I guess I get it, you know. If she was only being kept alive from machinery and stuff, at some point, you know, I guess you have to pull the plug on those machines and, you know, and if she still lives, then it was God's will. And if she dies, it's still God's will. So I guess they've
right.
gotten to that point where.
Right. Well, the thing was that they said that she, even with all of the extraordinary things that have been done to preserve her life, her
yes.
condition and her health is still continuing to deteriorate.
Wow. So, well, maybe it's time for her to go home to Whitney. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still sad and, you know, very unfortunate, but, you know. All right, so what's yours?
Mine is a bit political and a bit, it's been generating a lot of buzz on social
media. Are you gonna start a sermon? Do I need to get my buttons ready here?
Yeah. No, really.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, I got church music
basically,
for this.
You know, I want to mention that the flag being taken down in Alabama. But the Confederate flag, that is. But the caveat that goes along with it is there's this post that's been circulating on Facebook and social media about, you know, you take down the Confederate flag, but how about you stop folks with the sagging pants showing their underwear? And it's basically just saying, okay, you're offended. You people are offended by the Confederate flag. Okay, well, we're offended by your sagging jeans, you know. And a lot of people, you know, of course, a lot of people are saying, how are they comparing the Confederate flag to, you know, someone's pants sagging below their butt or whatever. And this was actually up in our group, and a lot of people had some strong stances and opinions on this. My personal opinion is, although I don't like the comparison, I understand what they're saying. It's about offensive things. And it always seems to me that nobody wants to take anybody else's offense to task. Like, if I'm offended by something and you're not offended by it, it really doesn't concern you. It really doesn't bother you. And vice versa. To me, I think this is smokescreen politics. And I'll just keep it real. I could care less about a damn flag. I really could. Because whether or not that flag is still flying or whether or not they take it down, it does nothing to further our cause. Nothing. You take that damn flag down tomorrow, okay, all of a sudden minorities are going to have better job opportunities? All of a sudden our communities are going to have less violence? No, none of that is going to happen. So for me, we got better things to worry about than a doggone flag. I'm just saying. I get it. It's about imagery and all that, you know, and it sparks some kind of feeling for some folks. But I still say we have bigger fish to fry than a flag. Who cares about a flag? At the end of the day, we want better job opportunities. We want better education for our children and hell for ourselves than a flag. It's just smokescreen politics. They want to get y'all all focused on this mess so you can stop thinking about the real stuff, like gas being damn near $3. Oh, yeah, they want you to think about a flag. And the whole little post that's going around Facebook with the guys whose pants sagging and people saying they're offended by that. Okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people. I don't like seeing that myself. I'm offended by that, too. That needs to stop. But that's still a smoke screen, too. They want to get you talking about other stuff instead of the real stuff. That's all I'm trying to say. So all you folks, it's all in the uproar that they had the audacity to compare a Confederate flag with people walking around with their pants sagging now. Don't fall for the hype. It's just smokescreen stuff. That's all it is. It gets you talking and it gets you thinking about everything else but the real, real. That's my spin cycle talk. And I'm off my soapbox.
Yeah. For that.
Really?
There you go.
What was that? What was that?
You
could have found
how
a hallelujah or something.
Yes, you know like how, no, you know how in the church, you know, every time right before the minister, when he starts getting worked up and stuff.
Really?
And you hear him start with the music, yes, that's what it was.
Okay.
That's what it was. Okay.
Okay.
All right,
what's
so
the next one?
I don't have enough time after your sermon. Anyway,
really?
It's kind of going along the whole thing of what you were talking about. As far as Dylan Storm, because Storm is a name that is taken by a lot of white supremacist people. Dylan Storm Roof. I don't know if you saw his hearing last week, last Friday, but it was profound. You know, he stood there and he was stoic, but it wasn't him that I was impressed with. It was the families. Because each family that talked said, "I forgive you." And for me, that really moved me, because I think that, you know, his intention was to start a race war. So obviously he wanted them to respond, you know, differently than what they did, so as to justify his actions, justify his behavior. But they all said, "Forgiveness. I forgive you. Hate will not win. Don't you start." And so I was just really touched by that. And you know, the next part of that is the West, I think it's Westeros, or am I mixing up? I think I'm mixing up Game of Thrones. Westboro, Baptist Church.
Before you get off of Dylan, can I say something right quick?
I guess.
I am appalled. And you'll find this interesting. I'm appalled. Those officers actually stopped at Burger King and got this fool something to eat before they took him to jail. That's right, I said it. This fool just killed 9 people, and they had the audacity to stop and get him something to eat because he was hungry. I've seen cops not even let minorities put on a shirt before they took him downtown. And you going to stop and get this idiot something to eat? Every day they show us. I'm telling y'all, every day they're showing you. That's all I'm going to say. And as far as everybody, I heard on the radio when people were talking about how could they forgive this man for what he did. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all might not want to hear this, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Those people are Christians. Real Christians act like Christians. They fake wannabe Christians. If you are a real Christian, you would forgive him, because that is the Christian way. That's what you do. So they're not doing anything miraculous or anything. They're Christians. They actually have real faith. So all you want to be fake Christians who say, "Oh, I could never do that," then you're not really a Christian. So that's why they forgave him, because that's what they do. To be Christian is to be Christ-like. Period. Go ahead, KJ.
And now that you have completely taken over my hot topic, and I mean, just took it totally to the left there. I mean,
okay, take
whatever.
It back to the right.
Yeah, whatever. You keep it up, I'm going to do you like Beyonce and put you to the left, to the left.
Whatever.
So, at any rate, whatever. We'll be back right after this, because, I mean, how do you just, you know, I can't even get control over that anymore. I swear, Jody, to put you, I'm so serious. I'm just going to put you in a cage or something.
Anyway,
when we do these shows.
You can't just say we'll be right back. You can't just say we'll be right back. Coming up with Trinae Adams
and, I said,
and
you don't
Sunshine
know how to
Wanda Lee. Will you stop talking over me?
Mm-hmm, whatever.
Coming up after this, y'all.
Hello, WTF fans. I am back, as always, with more sizzling reads for you this week. By Trinae Adams, we have Bury Me a G, 1 and 2, The Devil Wears Tim's, 1, 2, and 3, and Tyson's Treasure. And by Sunshine, we have Love's Betrayal, and She Can't Love You. All of these books are available for your immediate downloading for your Kindle at Amazon.com. And as always, happy reading. WTF is giving back to the community with our back to school drive, We are collecting paper, pencil, notebooks, anything that will help a young person to succeed in school. For more information on how you can donate supplies and where you can send them to, please contact our very own Kim Jones. You can inbox her on Facebook. Thank you so much, and help us give back to the community.
I was just thinking about something. I wonder if I could give you back to the community. Anyway, that's just me thinking aloud.
I believe we have some guests at the door.
Yes.
Well, come on in.
Janae Adams and the mother house, y'all. And I brought along my assistant, Felipe. Yes. Hello,
what?
Everyone. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, hello there, Felipe.
Hello, how are you, Felipe?
I'm good. I'm feeling real, real, real good. My book just dropped. Can't wait to get people's take on it.
Cool.
Yes.
And Sunshine, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I was going to say, where did she go?
Yeah. I said, oh, well, they said Trenae, he'll be first. Okay.
When I heard your name, it reminded me of in Harlem Nights. Clarice, I got a girl's pussy that's so good, we throw it in the air, and it turns into sunshine.
He was ready to leave his wife
that.
Over there, too.
I remember that. Yes, he did. He did. Well, he tried to
call her
to
and tell her you won't come back home.
That's right.
But anyway.
He sure did.
Start him off, KJ.
So, Trenae, where are you from?
I'm from South Central Los Angeles. The
cool.
place to be, born and raised out here, something like Texas. No, I'm just kidding. I'm from South Central Los Angeles. I was born and raised out here in the east side of the low bottom, just the lower part of Los Angeles.
Okay,
wow,
cool.
Wow, so you're on West Coast time. Okay, all right.
Yes. So it's like, is it 6 o'clock there?
You got it, 6:15 or that.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
And Sunshine, how about you? Where do you hail from?
I'm from the South. I'm from Columbus, Georgia.
All right now, a Southern girl. I hear you. What do you think differentiates yourself being a Southern girl from a Northern girl? I know I'm going a little bit off topic, but I'm curious about your answer.
Well, Southern girls are a bit different. I mean, you may have some in the North or what have you, but we are we're known for catering to people and being very social. I mean, if you go up North and you speak like we do, because I say hi to everybody, hey, how you doing? Hi, how's your day? You go up North. My godbrother is up North, and he's like, no, you cannot come visit. I'm like, why? He's like, as soon as you get in the airport and you start saying hi to everybody, they're going to knock you over your head. And I'm like, I don't know how to act. No, you can't help it. I mean, I speak to people, and I've been in the military. I had people up North speaking every day. You know, they were like, oh, I'm not used to it. And then, you know, before, you know, it was all said and done, they would be speaking every day just like, you know. Yeah.
Okay. KJ?
Wow, I'm still amazed that she was in the military. You're a strong woman, because I can't do military. Ooh, I can't take nobody in my face talking to me like that. I would cry. Oof, I tell you. So, Trenae?
Yeah.
Does your writing reflect any of your upbringing?
Yeah. Greatly. In the Devil Wears Tales,
when the kids didn't have nowhere to stay and had to move from place to place, and them being poor and their mom being a drug addict. The only difference was my uncle that we were with, and he was a drug addict. And there was a scene there where they were stealing from the store. With a guy named Bull. Only thing is, I didn't get in a fight with the dude. I grabbed the chips that I was stealing and ran out of there, and he chased me. So that's where it came from. How you saying that? Over exaggerated.
Yeah.
And then it's the scene where the mom is in the bathtub and he's out of it, and the daughter is very is saddened by it. That was real too.
Wow.
It's like sprinkles of part of my life in each book.
Gotcha.
Okay,
now Sunshine, tell us a little bit about Love's Betrayal. What's going on with that?
Okay. Love's Betrayal is basically how you can, as a family, be living comfortably until something happens. And in this case, it was infidelity and a child that's been hidden for years comes into play. And she's the one that puts everybody on spotlight and starts a chain of events from the family really being falling prey to the streets and jealousy, and they all go through a bit of something. It's a, you know, a lot of my reviews say that a lot is going on, but you have drugs, you have kids being coerced into doing some things. Of course, you have prayer in there, and where they pray together, and they end up staying together, you know, as a family, but they go through so much with oldest son thinking he could take the weight of the world on top of his shoulders while their family go awry. The parents end up not being there for several reasons, to include the drugs once again, drugs and infidelity and the fighting among themselves. It's a lot. It's quite a bit going on. They have enemies, one being the significant other sidekick, one being the sidekick and her husband. And like I said, they go through quite a bit. There's killing, there's... A lot is going on in the book. Part of it is stemmed from my upbringing and things that have happened around me in my life. I lived quite comfortably until divorce came into play. And I began to myself get into certain things and see things that I would not have normally, I would have been protected from. But life changed drastically, and I ended up seeing the inside of drugs, people being overdosed on drugs. And I actually saw, there's a hospital scene with the mother. I actually saw a patient like that, a family member really, that was, had the blisters in the hand, and it was from acid being put inside of heroin, you know.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was a lot. Everything that I described in that scene happened. And I was a witness to it, not a witness of the actual, you know, before the hospital, but at the hospital thing.
Right, right. Wow. So now, Trinae, I know you were talking about how different things from your life are sprinkled into your books, and that's fascinating to me because what I'm wondering is, are you ever any of the characters in your book?
No, I'm not fully all of them. The most character, the closest one I depict is Anton, but I'm working on another series of books where it's the whole personality is mine.
Awesome. Is it difficult when you try to write where the personality is yours like that? Is that hard?
Yeah, but it's great because I know how to depict those emotions, and people read it, they can feel where I'm coming from. They can feel like, and a lot of people have identified with stuff that I write, especially in the Devil Wears Tim series. I always get hit up about that and how someone told me that their mom was an addict and they had to take care of their brother too.
Now, Trinae, I noticed that you referenced series. Do you like writing series as opposed to standalones? How do you feel about the genre that you write in as well, like urban fiction?
The genre writing is oversaturated because it's like the same story over and over again. And as much as I hear people complain, they still buy it. But, I think what people want is the same thing but a different spin on it. But I try to, some of my stuff I write, it have some of the elements, but it'd be different. I have my own thing to it too. And the same story is always being repeated. So I just try, no idea is original. Everything's been done, but you got to get the idea, I think, that is the story that's been told, but has been told much less. So it'll become, and you put that spin on it, it's like a fresher. It's like something new. A person may feel like this is new to me. That's what they're getting. So that's what I try to do, so I won't be the same.
Wow, I love that idea. I love that thought, you know, because not many people can verbalize it, you know, what they're actually doing. So I love that. Let me ask
you this, Sunshine. What do you feel about traditionally publishing or independent publishing? Like, which route did you decide to go?
I'm in the independent side of the indie side of the scope, and actually, I decided to do that because I felt like I was a beginner, and I saw great things happening from that aspect. I really wanted to have someone to publish for me. I'm under Sham Present, and basically because the publicity, I felt enlightened to have someone that had already been a publisher, a major publishing company, to publish me, because they know the difference in the two and were able to give me the pros of being an indie author rather than being up under a major company. And that being so, it's easier to be published. A lot of authors that are in the majors are waiting a year or so before a book is coming out, and that's because they have so many books to publish.
So do you feel like you were better suited to independently publish your work? And do you feel like the independent route is saturated as well? Because Trinae said, like, the urban field is saturated with books. How do you feel about people who publish independently? Do you feel like they're adding to the literary world or taking away?
I feel like they're adding to it. Basically, I read both indie and major, and basically they're providing the same entertainment for readers at a lower cost. They're actually, that doesn't mean that they're taking from them, because I still go to the majors. Even as a indie writer, I go to the majors and I read Mary Higgins Clark, I read Tom Clancy, Dean Koontz. I read the majors.
Okay.
I read the majors all the time, and it doesn't take from my urge to read indie authors. Basically, the majors, they have more pages, you know, in their books. A lot of times their prices are higher, but to be taken away from, I don't think that's happening at all. It's enough money out there for everybody.
Okay.
Got
hey, and Trinae, sorry, Khadijah, I was going to ask him that too.
Go ahead.
How about you as well? I mean, did you go the independent route, or did you go the signed traditional publishing route?
I'm signed to independent publisher, which is Lockdown Publications, which is under Cash. He's the author of Trust No Man series.
So how do you feel about that?
I feel about what?
About independently publishing versus traditional, and the way that it's running rampant now in the literary world. Like, most people are going indie now. You think that's a good thing?
I think that's a good thing to go indie. You have to look at it like, what is the company providing you by? I look at that now. Like, if you just putting up a book cover and getting editing done, and then you putting my stuff on Amazon, you can do that yourself.
Right.
Now, most people, they go with a public. They might be an independent publisher that might have a name back in the day. He might have been signed with Triple Crown or John Bubblegum's publishing company. I don't know. Somebody that's popular, right? They come out with their publishing company. They got a hot name. So they more than likely, a new author, that's his or her favorite author, they're going to sign with them. And they feel, oh, it's going to get some light on that, on their pen, which is true, it will. But that don't mean that you're going to get that author or that author's readers.
Right.
You can get some of them, but if they like you. But if they all they doing is giving you editing and putting a book cover out, then why would you sign with them? Now, it will take time for you. If you go by yourself, it's going to take time for you to garner a buzz and people to come looking for your work and start checking you out. That's the only difference. But you have to grind, and it's going to take some time. Versus when you sign with somebody who got a name, you already have some spotlight on you. As long as you have an interesting pen, yeah, you'll be all right.
Now, what advice would you give to somebody who wants to get to where Trinae is right now?
I don't feel like I'm that far along. I put out my sixth book. I'm still trying to get to where.
Hey, that's a lot, bro. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's not easy writing a book. But I would say that dare to be different, be original, because you got to stand out. There's so many people that write books. Some of them here because they put a genuine love of it, and some of them here to make a dollar. So you have to do something that stands out, and you have to have a personality. You got to have something to make people be like, oh, he's so funny, or I like his personality. Let me go check out this book that he got. And then, before you know it, you got a reader to check out the work. You're like, damn, he's funny, and he nice, you know, and his book's fire. They don't want to mess with you like that. That's what I think. You have to have, it's entertainment, and all around the board is entertainment. It has to be something there for people to invest their money into you. You got to sell yourself.
Very good advice.
Sunshine,
same
very
question.
True.
What advice would you give?
My advice is, if you are writing and you have a dream to become a published writer, even if you want to publish yourself, go write books, get your ideas out, let the readers know that you are out there, and hustle. Get your name in the air, let everybody know who you are, you know, set your brand, and get out there, because it's enough room for everybody. I mean, you might not come out the door doing as well as the next person. You might be able to write 5, 6, 7 books in a year or what have you. But if you got a good idea and when you do want to establish yourself, get out there. Today is a good time. Today, you're not waiting for tomorrow. Do it now.
Right.
And do it
right. Right.
All
right.
That was very good advice as well. And it makes, like Tamisha was about to say, I keep cutting you off. Go ahead.
You definitely have to hustle. That is something that I am learning myself, is I have to get out there and I have to open my mouth. And Jody always fight me,
Jody.
Did you
say open your mouth?
Yes, I did. Wait a minute. Did you take that to the X-rated? You know what, Jody?
No.
Anyway.
Right, that was just too easy.
Uh-huh.
Too easy. So I'm
going
to leave it alone.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So I'm learning that I have to get out there and I have to, okay, I'll say it like this. I have to speak up. You know, I have to talk around him like I talk around my high school students. So, you know, I'm learning I have to get out there and I have to speak up and I have to say stuff. And, you know, for me, that's always been difficult because I'm very shy in person. Shut up, Jody. So it's like, you know, I'm one way on the air and I'm another way, you know, I'm another way in the group, but face to face, I'm very shy and I blush badly. So I am, stop laughing, Trinae. So I'm having to learn how to speak up and how to promote myself and how to push my book and how to not get my feelings hurt if somebody just keeps walking right past me, you know. Hey, I got a good book. You want to, oh, you know, fuck you too. I mean, you know, I'm having to learn how to come out of that. So,
and we are working with her on that. And she will get her feet wet when we get to Harlem. Trust
yes, we're going to
that.
Harlem, Harlem, Harlem.
But anyway.
Are either one of you guys going to Harlem this year?
No,
I'm not.
Okay.
I don't want to see Harlem Book Fair until my weight is up, until I'm known more.
Okay.
Gotcha. All right.
Well, coming up, y'all, we got the main hot topic coming up. Can your relationship survive a little this and a little bit of that? Cheating. Coming up.
A little bit of this and a little bit of that? You really do need help. Okay.
Whatever.
WTF with Kenitra and Jody is brought to you by Joe Ken Publications, where integrity and great stories just come together. Look for upcoming novels from Joe D. and Kenitra Jordan coming the first of the year. 2015 is going to be the year of Joe Ken. Looking for a good read? Try reading Sugarland by our own Jody Sanders. Meet Sugar, a mysterious and vengeful woman originally from a small town in Georgia, as she returns to the Carolinas to deal with her shameful and disturbing history with a group of three very flawed friends. Also by our own Kenitra Jordan, Eternal Bloom. Raised to honor her vows, Ayanna Adams soon learns the truth about her husband and still has to try to find a way to get herself and her children out alive. You can pick up these two titles at Amazon.com for your Kindle or Barnes & Noble for your Nook. Thank you for your support.
I bust the windows out your car, and though it didn't mend my broken heart, I'll probably always have these ugly scars. But right now I don't care about that part. I bust the windows out your car. After I saw you laying next to her, I didn't wanna, but I took my turn. I'm glad I did it, 'cause you had to learn.
I'm sorry. I know I played it a little longer than I should have, but I love that song!
Really?
Yeah.
Why you gotta bust the windows out of people's cars? That's all I wanna know.
Look, all I know is this. Any guy I've ever, well, if you ask my current man, I had a situation where my best friend's husband cheated on her. And I'll never forget it because she says, well, aren't you afraid that, you know, so-and-so, my dude, will cheat on you? And I just said, no. I said, you want to know why? And she says, what? And I said, watch this. I said, and please, no, I'm not trying to rub this in your face, but just watch what you're saying. So I stepped out in the hallway and I said, hey, so-and-so, what song will I play if I ever find out you cheated on me? And he started singing on his own. I bust the windows out your car. I'm sorry, there you go. And walk back in the room. So, okay.
Really?
So that is, yeah. I'm going to bust some windows out the car, okay? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I hear you just saying. You're giving all the cops need to charge you if that ever happens. I'm just saying. Anyway.
You know what? If that ever happens, take it out to settlement, okay? There you go.
Okay. So, can a relationship survive cheating? Here's my two cents. I feel like it depends, first of all, there's so many variables that will go into it. It would depend on if they had a loving relationship before the cheating started, because that's always important. You know, if they were invested, they have children, you know, finances intertwined, all this stuff, that plays a role in if it can survive or not. And also, the person that cheated, are they willing to stop cheating or not cheat? That plays the role. I mean, I think a relationship can survive if there's like some contrition involved. I ain't talking about kissing somebody's ass for the rest of your life. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying if you're truly sorry, you don't want to do it again, you want to work on your relationship, yeah, it can happen. Yeah, it can work. But I will say this. Women never forget Jack.
Nope.
So if you decide to stay in a relationship, if you're the guy who cheated and you decide to stay in that relationship and she wants to work it out and everything because y'all got kids, y'all got, you know, house, whatever going on, and she ain't trying to go nowhere and she wants to work it out, remember, she ain't forgetting Jack. It could be
nope.
5 years from there and y'all
Amen.
Could be living in, and y'all could be in total bliss. You can, you know, repair your marriage and everything. As soon as your ass is gone to the store a little bit too long, oh, it's coming back up.
Amen.
What do you think, Kenitra?
Okay, here we go. Let me speak from my point of view, okay? It ain't lasting.
It's not.
Well, I mean, and it's because of what you just said. But at least I'm woman enough to admit that I'm not going to forget it. And I'm not going to let you forget it. And I'm not going to be able to trust you. So
but
instead
there's no forgiveness
of trying to,
in your soul.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I will forgive you, but that don't mean I'm going to forget. And so instead of faking the funk and pretending like I can just pick up and move on and, you know, move past that, I'm not going to do that to you, and I'm not going to do that to me, because you know what? Sometimes love isn't enough. It wasn't enough for you to keep your dick in your pants. So, I mean, I'm just saying. So sometimes love is not enough. What?
Variety is the spice of life. What are you talking about?
Man, whatever.
It's the spice of life.
Like I said,
every now and then you need a little strange. I'm just saying.
Whatever. But like I said, at any rate, sometimes love is not enough. And so, like I said, we may as well go ahead and cut our losses. And if we have children, obviously I'm not going to be bitter. I really won't. I won't be bitter. I'm moving on. Okay? And
what?
we have to be amicable for the children.
Why do women think, or I should say women, not all women, some women, think that cheating is the be-all, end-all? Like, he could rob you of $100,000 at the bank. He could wreck the car. He could not pay the mortgage. He could go take the bill money and blow it at the casino. But somehow, if you get caught cheating, oh, you got to go. What's that about? Y'all, is sex that important to you? What's that about?
It's something
you
about
get away with
somebody
everything else.
Else. Mm-mm.
You let him get away with
something,
everything else, but if he cheats on you, oh, my God, you got to go.
It's something about you lying with that or laying, or no, lying, I'm sorry. It's something about you lying with that person in an intimate fashion that is very hard to get past. It's not like you just kissed old girl. You fucked her. You ain't slipping, falling, your penis fell and have a JJ. Okay? This actually took some thought and some action there. And so, like I said, for me personally, I can't get past that. Because
Trinae,
if I feel the need to cheat, I'm going to come to you and
what
say
you
bye.
Think?
I'm sorry.
for me, I don't think I can handle that, because it's like, say if you love chocolate, you love chocolate pudding, right? You eat it all day, every day. So this one day, you know, you got one chocolate pudding cup in the refrigerator, and you're like, I'm finna sit down, I'm going to go to Amazon, and I'm going to download Jasmine Devinish's Dirty Little Secret 1 and his Dirtiest Little Secret 2, and I'm going to go in here and I'm going to get this fruit, this chocolate pudding cup. And you go in there, and some bastard has his finger in your pudding cup. You ain't going to eat that shit no more. Shit, nigga, you can have that chocolate pudding cup. I'm going to give you another one. You ain't going to want it no more. So I feel like most men going to be like, hell no, I don't want it no more. You wouldn't buy a beat up Benz, would you? Hell no.
That's right. And that's what I'm talking about. I don't want your spoon after you stirred her pudding.
Well, wait a minute. Hold up. Now, you just said you wouldn't buy a beat up Benz. Suppose you bought a nice Benz and you done had it for a while, and it's treated you right. You ain't never had no problems. You get it serviced all the time.
Yeah.
But you still,
well, apparently
but you still
it wasn't
had to go out and buy
enough.
No, wait a minute. But still, you went out and bought that brand new Audi. That doesn't mean you don't drive the Benz no more. It just means that you just got the Audi every now and then. You know what I'm saying? Just up a little bit.
Whatever, man.
You still drive the Benz.
Oh, goody.
It just got a new model, you know, just to take out every down on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Y'all get a new ride out on Sunday.
Yeah,
but you drive your regular vehicle the other 6 days of the week. See what I'm saying?
But
anyhow,
you are such
hop on
a
in
pain,
there.
What?
Hop on in there, Sunshine. Tell me what you think.
Okay. I feel like it depends on what goes on before, during, and after the relationship. If before the relationship you've already learned how to be to have longevity in your relationship, and you know that a person is not flawless, everybody's going to have their things that they are going to go through, and you are accepting of other people and their behavior, it'll last a little longer, or it can survive. It has a better chance of surviving. And if you, if during the relationship you've been honest with each other, showed each other love, loyal to each other, and showed a lot of respect, I'm sure that relationship is going to be the strongest type. And if after the infidelity, if you can forgive, and if that man vows not to do it again and hold his discretion, if he does decide to, then it'll really last longer than a relationship where you're not already in love, or you don't already have kids or investments that are tied together, you know. That's how I feel. You know, and as far as me and a man who cheats, I don't like it, but I have forgiven for it, and the relationship lasted as long as I could take it. But I don't like it. I don't like to deal with it. I have dealt with it. I think I did quite well.
Gotcha.
But if you continue to get caught up in it, you know, like, somebody calling your house, coming to your house, you got to fight somebody, you
being messy.
If you got to go through that, you don't need to be in a relationship. There's no need in continuing on. If you're not the strongest link, meaning that a man doesn't respect you enough to protect what you have with him by keeping your side chick somewhere else, away from home. Don't give them the home phone number or the address. Don't have them calling the house. You know, if you can do that and not be seen everywhere with somebody else, then you are holding your discretion. You can survive a little cheating, but you can't make yourself absent enough to where the female knows somebody, you know, has part of you. You know, that thing I couldn't deal with. If you're living with me, and you are gone overnight, then, I mean, there's nothing much you can tell me outside the fact that you see. We didn't plan it. You know, we didn't talk about, oh, I'm going to be gone overnight. I'm going to fishing.
I got you. So basically what you're saying, Sunshine, is as long as he's not messy with, if he's still taking care of home and keeping you satisfied and everything and not having you aware of a little dibbling and dabbling. Like a little, there's a difference between a little dibbling and dabbling and having a whole nother relationship.
I mean, it could even be a whole nother relationship. He just going to be absent over there. You know, that's
right.
Just how I feel. He might could catch her during gym time. Or, you know what I'm saying? Don't make the whole lifestyle where you're going to be absent from me, because if you're absent from me, I ain't get my time. And you know when I go to the beauty shop, you know when I go to the mall, you know when I'm going grocery shopping, hop on over there then. I want to know this, you know. Don't let me know. I don't want to know at all.
Okay. Now, when he's doing that, like when you're at the beauty salon, you know, getting your hair did, and he over there stepping out, when he at the barbershop, you going to be stepping out too? I'm just saying.
If I decided to step out, I'm not the stepping out type. But if I decided to step out, he going to be at the gym or the barbershop or going fishing or playing basketball or something. I'm
okay.
Not going to just say, you know what, we can't have no time today because I got something to do.
Okay. I got you.
That's obvious after a while, you know. Wait
yeah.
a minute, you always got something to do. You can't tell me what you got to do. You know, what's up with that? You know, stuff like that. You know how guys are. I'm asking you about business.
Now, Kanisha,
don't
did you get what Sunshine is saying?
Why are you trying to drag me in there? I done told you what I
said.
I'm getting the baseball bat
saying?
And I'm going for the windows in the car, okay?
Really?
That's right. I'm busting the windows out the car and then I'm leaving your ass.
Even after years upon years.
I'm busting the windows out of car. Okay, so maybe if we've been together that long, I might just bust the back window and
damn.
The driver and the passenger side. That way you can at least see some when you're trying to go, you know, when you're trying to leave.
So basically with you, then you just look, got an absolute. Everything's black and white. There ain't no shades of gray. Because I don't believe you.
That's in living color.
There's
that's
shades
in
of gray
color.
In real life.
If you don't believe it, step your ass outside barefoot and step on some of that glass I put on the ground.
I'm just saying.
I am too.
So you're trying to tell me that there's no way ever that you could ever forgive infidelity?
No.
No kind of situation?
No. I mean, like I said, what, were you sleepwalking and just kind of tripped and fell and, ooh, look where I landed? What? I mean, no. You heard Trine. I like Trine. So, like I said, expounding on what he said, I don't want to lick the spoon after you stirred somebody else's cup. Okay? I'm going to go get me another spoon that's clean, and I'm going to get me another
spoon.
But
that's been, that's been your spoon for 15 years.
So
that's been your spoon for 15 years.
Well, you know, if
you
don't polish them
give
from
it up
time to time, they do rust and, you know, tarnish.
You're going
to
give
so,
it up because one other person just happened to use that spoon for a little second? I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
I'm just asking. Inquire of minds wants to know. I ask a tough question.
Whatever.
I just say, honestly, I've never met a guy that never cheated. I mean, unless he was married from his first love.
Now, why are you putting that on all the guys?
There's women to cheat too.
Because I have more male friends than I have female friends. And that's how they are. I mean, they, you know, every relationship where I've talked to a woman that mm-hmm. has been married for 40, 50, 60 years, those women tell me, don't think I've never been through anything. He cheated, but I handled it like a woman. And if I had handled it any other way, then we wouldn't be together. You know, things like that. I mean,
I'm handling like a woman. I sound going to only bust one window.
Really?
Sorry.
No, you're going to. You're going to get your butt back in that kitchen and fix the sandwich, damn it.
It's not that easy. It's not going to go like that.
It ain't going to go like that.
No,
oh, she'll fix the sandwich, all right. She just put some rat poison in it.
I was just getting ready to say that.
Yeah.
You might not want to eat that sandwich.
I need some gills. I need some strong policy. I need for you to never speak to that girl again or something. You know, you got to really straighten out if you cheat and get caught. Getting caught is like the worst thing.
Yeah.
You better don't come home smelling like no female, because you can put a washcloth and some cologne and soap and toothpaste and an extra toothbrush. You better put that in the trunk of the car or in the glove compartment somewhere, because there should be nothing, no kind of way that I know.
Okay.
Not that, I won't forgive if I find out. It's that it's going to be hard. I'm not going to forget that easy. I won't forget at all. And it will come up again, just like you said.
Right.
I hear you. Shanae, you got anything else you want to add before we get up out of here?
Don't fuck with nobody else's chocolate pudding. That's it.
That's right. Don't go licking nobody else's damn spoon. I'm sorry.
Wow.
All I got to say is Ben's new Ferrari. That's all it, you know. That's it. But anyway, y'all, we appreciate Sunshine and Trinae for stopping by. Y'all go out and support their work. Don't forget, Trinae's latest is Tyson's Treasure. Sunshine wanted to leave. Love's Betrayal. Y'all check them out. Support. And we out. Take us out, KJ.
Oh, God, it didn't.
Did it. Yes!